Breaking news today on Seculo as the U.S. intel points to Palestinian Islamic Jihad in hospital explosion.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. It's good to be back in the studio with you. I've been traveling and out the last couple of days to update you on what's going on in Israel. As you know, President Biden sat down with President Netanyahu and met with Israelis today in Israel, in Tel Aviv, pledging U.S. support for Israel. I think what was key in those comments, and again, the words are going to have to be backed up by actions, but this whole idea in the last 24 hours, which has set the Arab world on fire, they're kind of waiting for this moment, right, when Hamas would seize on some kind of misinformation to take to the world to say, see, no, it's the Israelis. Ignore what we did, the raping, killing, and hostage taking, and the killing of children that we did 10 days ago. Look, Israel attacked a hospital, killing 500 in Gaza. Well, here's how the New York Times had to report it. First, the New York Times reported as Israeli strike kills hundreds in hospital, Palestinians say. Then they changed the headline again to at least 500 dead in strike on Gaza hospital, Palestinians say. So they take out Israeli strike. And then it's no longer a strike. At least 500 dead in blast at Gaza hospital, Palestinians say. And that's because we now have audio and video that the IDF has released. We have audio from Hamas operatives. We'll go through later in the broadcast, talking to each other about how this was a rocket fired from the cemetery behind that hospital. And when the rocket misfired, it hit the area outside the hospital, which is why you see a lot of blown up cars. They even say the shrapnel isn't Israeli shrapnel. This is our shrapnel. This is shrapnel from our weapons. So the evidence is clear, but this is the moment the world was looking for. When I say the world, places like the United Nations to condemn Israel, the Arab world, who's now rioting outside of our embassies across the world, fire outside our embassy in Lebanon. They wait for these moments. They canceled the meetings with President Biden, which, by the way, shows you our standing in the world right now. When he flies over, while he's in the air on Air Force One, Jordan says, we're not hosting the meeting with our country's leaders, with Egypt, and with the Palestinian Authority leader, Mahmoud Abbas. That's canceled. Don't come to Jordan. We're not hosting it. All based off of a rocket fired by either Hamas or the Palestinian Islamic Jihad that misfired and killed their own people. Or that's if you want to believe the best of that story. The worst of that story is they fired the rocket intentionally into those people so that they could try to get away with a story that Israel attacked a hospital. The problem is the hospital is standing. The hospital wasn't targeted. The building's intact. There were a lot of people outside in that parking lot using it as a refuge center, so Israel wouldn't need to target that as a place of conflict. But again, notice even what they admit to, which is that they fire rockets from hospitals. I mean, that's in the audio we're going to go through. That's not even an issue to them. Let's go to a place where people are being taken care of that would usually never be a military target. We'll fire our rockets there. Hopefully, then the Israelis will see that we're firing rockets there, so they'll then strike near a hospital. In this case, their rocket misfires, but it was the moment the pro-Palestinian world was waiting for. How could we turn on Israel? How could we start ignoring the raping, the killing, the hostage taking of children, of women, of the elderly? How can we start ignoring that attack and start putting the focus back on evil Israel? And this is that moment, which is when we need to fight back aggressively. Our team is at the EU today, the European Union, which is voting on defunding Hamas. We've been at the Council of Europe. We've been at the UN. We're fighting back. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Support the work of the ACLJ and ACLJ Jerusalem at ACLJ.org. second, though, we are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rinnell is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast, talking about some of this diplomatic breakdown. While President Biden was flying to Israel, and I think, again, his statements in Israel were very strong in support of Israel. So now it's time to back up the statements with actions, and we'll play some of that for you. But remember, he was also going there to meet with Arab leaders in Amman, Jordan, specifically the King of Jordan, the Egyptian president, and the Palestinian Authority, so the West Bank leader, Mahmoud Abbas. While he's in the air, using the bombing of this hospital, which we have now debunked as an action that was not taken by Israel or the IDF, and there's even audio, which we're going to play later in the broadcast for you, between Hamas operatives saying that, no, we know it's our rocket, it's not the IDF, it was a misfire from a cemetery in the hospital cemetery. So they use those locations as places to fire from, by the way. That's another admission. That's another war crime. So you're using areas that the military is seeing you're firing from are hospitals. That's using people in a hospital. That's using a hospital as a human shield, the entire hospital. But needless to say there, Israel didn't fire back on that location. That was a misfired weapon that ended up killing and maiming so many people. I think Hamas at this point is responsible for more deaths of Palestinians in this conflict than the IDF and any of their missile strikes. And that's not to say that their missile strikes haven't been important and haven't killed Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. They certainly have. But civilian-wise, no one's killed more Palestinian civilians than Hamas, certainly if you look at it over the years. But I think even in this last 10 days. But it was the moment the world was looking for to pile on Israel, and they tried to do it as quickly as possible. And we were talking about last night, Israel needs to respond as quickly as possible. I think they did. They responded at the speed of relevance. So the New York Times had to change their headline 3 different times. The problem is, inside the Muslim world, it is on fire right now. So we're going to talk to Rick Rinnell about that when he comes back. I mean, we've got a massive protest outside some of our embassies that are putting our folks in serious danger all over the world. We're seeing violence increase against Jews, threats against Jews increase in Europe especially. And that takes me into what the ACLJ is doing. You know, we have talked about, we don't just talk about these issues. You know, we have an office in Jerusalem. We have been at international tribunals fighting for Israel. We've been at the UN fighting for Israel. And CC, today and tomorrow, our European team is at the European Union fighting for Israel and the defunding of Hamas.
That's right. The European Union, the European Parliament of the European Union is meeting today, and they were actually debating, and of course our team from the ACLJ was there. The members of Parliament were debating a motion that deals with this Israeli-Hamas conflict. And we had sent a letter basically claiming or trying to get amendments for the EU to publicly condemn Hamas, to suspend any EU financial support of Hamas, to suspend all EU grants to NGOs linked to Hamas or the Muslim Brotherhood, and to call for the immediate return of all hostages. And currently that debate went well. Two of our suggestions actually got put in the title, were put in the title. The title now for these motions include the condemnation of Hamas, and the title also includes confirming the right for Israel to defend itself. So hopefully the debate, they will actually finalize this language tomorrow, and then they will take a vote on it. So hopefully the EU will come out very strong condemning what Hamas has done and supporting Israel.
I want to play some from President Biden today. And so we're going to follow that very closely about what's happening at the European Union. And Cece, it's only been a few holdout states there. Most of those European countries have been ready to declare Hamas as a terrorist organization and cut the funding. But there are enough countries that have stood in the way. And it's kind of this key moment where I think if that vote was last week, more countries would be on board. But this was this hospital moment because it's a who do you believe moment. And if you want to believe Hamas and the Palestinian propaganda, it gives you almost an excuse to continue to funding the Palestinians.
Right. And I think, you know, people who are pro-Palestinian and trying to support what Hamas has done, which is absolutely horrendous, attacking Israel, they look for any thing that they can tie to. And you're exactly right. They jumped on the fact when this was promoted by Hamas that, oh, look, Israel bombed our hospital. Everybody jumps on it, which is very sad. Instead of saying, you know, that's not how Israel plays the game. It's not. Israel protects their citizens. They actually protect all citizens. Hamas is the one that, as you said correctly, uses citizens and civilians as human shields. And it's horrific. And what they did, even acknowledging that they're shooting these rockets from the hospital, that's part of their ploy, because then to take that rocket launcher out, you would have to shoot near a hospital. But again, you're exactly right. The world jumps on, oh, look, Israel's a bad player, and they're not. And hopefully when we get motions from statements from the European Union saying Hamas is wrong and Israel's right, that will help the narrative.
This is President Biden today in Tel Aviv. Take a listen, Bite 8.
The state of Israel was born to be a safe place for the Jewish people of the world. That's why I was born. I've long said, if Israel didn't exist, we'd have to invent it. And while it may not feel that way today, Israel must again be a safe place for the Jewish people. And I promise you, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that it will be.
So again, I think President Biden was going there today. He thought there would be a major hostage release of non-Israeli hostages from around the world. That broke down, obviously, with this hospital incident, which you could even go to the fact whether it was an accident or intentional. I think it's time to read the transcript. This is the transcript of the call that was released by the IDF between two Hamas operatives. Operative one, I'm telling you, this is the first time we see a missile like this falling. And so that's why we are saying it belongs to the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. What? Operative number two, they're saying it belongs to Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Operative number one, you mean it's from us? Operative two, it looks like it. Operative one, who says this? Operative two, they're saying that the shrapnel from the missile is local shrapnel and not like Israeli shrapnel. Operative one, what are you saying? Operative two, but God bless, it couldn't have found another place to explode. Operative one, never mind, yes, they shot it from the cemetery behind the hospital. Operative two, what? Operative one, they shot it from the cemetery behind the hospital and it misfired and fell on them. Operative two, there's a cemetery behind it? Yes, it's exactly inside the compound. Operative two, where is it when you enter the compound? You first enter the compound, don't go toward the city, and it's on the right side of the hospital. I mean, what more evidence do you need? That it was a total lie to the media to believe, one, that the hospital was hit and the building is standing. The solar panels on the hospital were not damaged. Cars in a parking lot were damaged, and there were people there, and there were people killed. But they were killed by a rocket fired by either Hamas or Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and we have them on the record. We have evidence, CC, that you could submit in court. There's video evidence. You've got the audio evidence. Again, that it was the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, Hamas or the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, who have committed a war crime, one, by using a hospital to fire weapons from, and two, have killed their own people.
Absolutely.
So their own people should be dragging them out in the streets, not Israelis.
Absolutely. And you're right. And when you read that transcript, they're talking about their Hamas compound. And they're literally saying, where is this in the compound? Which is admitting to the fact that their Hamas compound intentionally includes a hospital.
Right.
And the law of armed conflict absolutely makes that illegal. Hamas does nothing but violate the law of armed conflict, and Israel goes out of its way to make sure that it's complying, and yet Israel continues to get painted as the bad guy, even when the facts prove that they are not.
Folks, you want to talk to us in here, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll continue to take your calls as well. Joe, I'm going to save your call for Rick Rennell in the next segment of the broadcast. So if you're listening to Joe right now, stay on the line. Rick did a lot of work at the United Nations, so I want him to respond to your question there. Stay on. If you have questions about this, I'm sure you do, folks. I mean, there's a lot to ask about. A lot of this happens even before we're awake in the United States, and then it's kind of we have to get caught up in what's happening throughout the day and evening where you get more of the military action. But again, so 1-800-684-3110, but we want you to support the work and become an ACLJ champion of our work. A jihadist rocket hits a Palestinian hospital. The media rushes to blame Israel. But we fight back with the right information. We fight the disinformation. It's why the ACLJ is needed now more than ever. Our office in Jerusalem has been in action around the clock to defend Israel at every international institution that we can, and we are continuing to do more work. There's more coming from the ACLJ. We have a multi-week plan on the defense of Israel. Today's a big day at the EU, as you heard. They're putting together the resolutions on the funding of Hamas. The ACLJ is there. We want you to become a continuing monthly donor at the ACLJ and become an ACLJ champion. Make that monthly contribution at aclj.org/champions. Stand with Israel. Stand with liberty. All right, folks, welcome back to Secular. By the way, we're watching the speaker vote. This is the second speaker vote for Jim Jordan. There have been four no votes already. If there's a fifth no vote, which has that happened yet? It hasn't happened yet, but if there's a fifth no vote by Republicans, it means he would not make speaker this vote. The question is, does he add votes from last night, or does he lose more votes? And I think that will then implicate whether or not he gets a third opportunity at a run for the speakership. So we're going to keep you updated on that as these votes occur. It's being done a little differently than it was last time. So they're having a vote, then they're calling recess, going back into conference, which I think is a better idea anyways than hashing it all out for the liberal media to show day and night Republicans fighting publicly. But I want to go to the issue at hand. Our guest, Rick Rennell, a senior advisor with us at the ACLJ. And Rick, I wanted to start with this news. As the President of the United States is on Air Force One last night, on his way to the Middle East, Jordan, a U.S. ally, cancels a meeting that they were going to host with their leader, their king, the president of Egypt, and the head of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, with President Biden because of supposedly the IDF attacking this hospital in the Gaza Strip, which now the information has become clear was not an IDF weapon. Both U.S. intel, Israeli intel, they put out phone calls from Hamas operatives talking about how it was their weapon, misfiring. They already admit to a war crime because they were using a hospital cemetery to fire their rockets from. So that should be point number one. But it was that perfect storm event that I think Hamas was looking for, Rick, unfortunately, for the world to turn against Israel. And immediately, which I think shows a little bit of the weakness of the U.S. right now in the world, even our own allies in that region said, we're not hosting a meeting with you, President Biden.
Yeah, first, I tweeted out this morning a warning to be careful when you share New York Times articles, because obviously they need to be fact-checked. The New York Times fell for Hamas's talking points immediately. It's a shameful low point for the New York Times, another low point. But I will say this is, I can't believe that Anthony Blinken is still the Secretary of State. You are supposed to give your president wins in diplomacy. You're supposed to do all of the heavy lifting, work through all the issues, and then the president gets to cross the finish line and, you hand him victories. You have to take the president's vision and be able to run with it and implement and make sure that you have wins. And I just see when the president of the United States boards Air Force One, gets up in the air, and our allies are canceling meetings with him, this is embarrassing for the United States. This is a very low point for the Biden administration.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was getting to, Rick. It's like, you could take the issue. I know that they've got to deal with their domestic audience. They're dealing with protest on their streets. They're dealing with, you know, maybe they're worried about even their own power because of the people on their streets. But usually, if it's the United States, which they have such an interest in keeping a relationship with, and the president of the United States coming to your country for these meetings, not necessarily, by the way, just to go rah-rah for Israel, but to talk about what can be done. How can this become a better situation? And they thought, they made the calculation, better to cancel on the president of the United States while he is in the air, coming to your region of the world, than it is to be seen with the president of the United States.
You know, think about that. The calculus from the Jordanians and others was it's better to cancel this meeting because, frankly, let's be honest, the meeting was going to just be a PR move. If that meeting was going to further some sort of diplomatic solution where the Jordanians, for instance, would be supporting some sort of move that was good for them, a diplomatic move, they would have had the meeting. But to me, it just signals that there was no diplomatic strategy. There was no idea. There was nothing more than just a PR move, a picture between the two leaders. And that's when the Jordanians calculated that this just isn't worth it for us because there's no There's no substance. And that, to me, is the fault of the Secretary of State. What is the diplomatic strategy? What are you pushing? You can't just push an image and a picture.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go to this in just a minute. I mean, because I think it's very important. I mean, the New York Times changing their headline 3 different times. But I want to go to Joe's call in New York, because I told him, I said, I think Rick will answer this best for you because of all your years of work at the UN, Rick. Joe, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my question, and I beg your listeners, viewers, to keep praying for Israel.
Thank you.
Is there any possible way to either remove or disband the UN from the USA?
You know, I mean, Rick, as much as we complain and is about the UN, I think it probably is in our interest to have the UN headquarters in the United States than it is or else we'd even be more isolated from the UN, and our enemies would probably likely have even more power.
Yeah, look, as you know, Jordan, I spent 8 years at the U.S. mission to the UN. I know the UN very well. I think I'm still the longest serving political appointee at the UN. And so I've been inside the Security Council. I've been inside all of those meetings, private and public. I know it well. It is a body. The Security Council is a body of 15 members and the lowest common denominator of what they all think. I actually would do something different. I'd have massive U.S. leadership, and I would force the body and force those entities into following the United States. If you can have U.S. leadership and utilize the U.N. as a tool in the tool belt, not the only one. I don't believe that the U.N. is the only foreign policy tool. And that's why I would never recommend having the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. in the cabinet, because it's just one of the multilateral institutions that's used by the Secretary of State and others. So I do think without U.S. leadership, though, we fumble. We spend too much money. It's wasteful. We've got peacekeeping operations that have lasted 50 plus years. You tell me, if you haven't been able to find peace in 50 plus years, then this is a jobs program. I would start cutting those. We have peacekeeping operations that are $1 billion a year. But I'll finish with this, Jordan. The outside agencies that function independently of the UN but are under the UN, UNICEF, World Food Program, those programs are well run because the Americans tend to say, we're going to have an American lead it, and we're going to have a responsible communications strategy back to the donors so that they know what they're paying for. I like that solution.
Yeah. So again, U.S. strength inside the U.N., U.S. asserting its power inside the U.N. Rick, as always, we appreciate your support. And by the way, folks, it looks like for Speaker, Jim Jordan has already lost this second round of votes. The question is, will he lose more votes than he did on the first vote? People are calling for Rick Grenell to be Speaker of the House in our chat. Again, you don't have to be a member of Congress. Who knows what they'll be looking for next? The question will be, and only about half the votes have come in. So if he loses potentially more votes, does he even get a third try at this? Again, I'd love to see Jim Jordan as Speaker of the House, but we've also got to deal with the reality of these votes. Folks, Because of your continued monthly donations, we're able to continue to expand our efforts to defend Israel. And certainly we've been doing that over the last 10 days. Become a monthly donor. Become an ACLJ champion at aclj.org/champions and become a recurring donor to the ACLJ today. aclj.org/champions. Second half hour coming up.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
As we are a live broadcast, I can tell you right now, Jim Jordan has fallen short in the second speaker vote. Votes are still coming in. The big question will be is how far short does he fall? Does he lose more votes than he had in the first vote yesterday? And does that mean they move on to potentially a different candidate for speaker? Or does he get a third vote? Right now, there's 91 votes for Jim Jordan. There's 4 for Scalise, 3 for McCarthy, 5 for someone else. And then you've got the Democrats supporting Hakeem Jeffries. So right now that would look like getting close to a worse turnout, getting especially close than a worse turnout for Jim Jordan than yesterday. So I do want to update you on that as well, because we still don't have a Speaker of the House. And that, of course, is up to Republicans. And I think every time we kind of lose one of these, whether, you know, it's gone from McCarthy to Scalise and then Jim Jordan, you're kind of going to, who's the next person on the list? Is it going to be someone you know even less about? And again, how much harder does it get? Or is that the kind of person that needs to be the speaker? Need to be someone who maybe hasn't been as involved? At this point, I think you need to, again, get this done as quickly as possible. There are major world events going on. There's major domestic events going on. And I don't think it looks good when Republicans can't get their act together on this. I mean, let's just all be honest on it. It just does not look good. I mean, we got another government shutdown in 3 weeks. I mean, we were just talking about that, and that can got kicked down the road. And because of it, Kevin McCarthy lost his speakership. But now there's no speaker, and we're 3 weeks away. So, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on that, but I do want to update you on that throughout our broadcast. And that is where it stands now in the second vote. There's no timing yet on if there is going to be a third vote. Jeff Balaban's going to be joining us next on the broadcast, talking more about also the media issues here with when you are fighting back again with Iran. How do we take the Biden language from this morning, which if you heard it, sounds very strong in support of Israel, and make sure that turns into action? But also the moment that the world accepted it within minutes that it must have been Israel who targeted a hospital with a missile attack is the moment that Hamas and the UN were waiting for to start their condemnation of Israel. And once I saw that happen, I said, you know, this is it. It doesn't matter what. And listen, Israel put out the evidence and made it very clear. I've gone through the evidence. We've gone through video evidence. The U.S. has evidence. This was a Hamas or Palestinian Islamic Jihad misfired rocket that killed those Palestinians. And it didn't even hit the hospital. It hit people who were in the parking lot of the hospital. That's unfortunate that those people were injured or killed. But that was at the hands of terror groups, not the IDF. And maybe they shouldn't be firing rockets by hospitals, because that alone is a war crime. But then you see the violence in the streets erupt. I'm scared for our diplomats around the world. I see what's happening at the embassy in Lebanon, which is being, I think, evacuated. Did we evacuate that embassy?
There's protection that it's not evacuated.
Not evacuated. I mean, there's fires outside of it. It looks right on the edge of like a Benghazi-type situation. And what was Benghazi about? Remember, it was a fake video they tried to blame it on. Remember all of that? Oh, it was a video put online. I mean, again, bad information that is put out into the Muslim world and not contradicted, can lead to a major escalation in the conflict. I mean, you had that Iranian, was it like an Iranian vice president or somebody, like a vice leader, say, time's up, Israel? That was the tweet from his official Iranian account, or his ex. That's what he put out there. I mean, this is a very dangerous time. We've got to stand with Israel, folks. It's gonna be like this every single day. Israel did this. Israel did that. So you ignore the fact that they beheaded babies. So you ignore the fact that they killed and raped pregnant women and teenage girls and children and burn them. They want you to forget all about that and just think about all those mean Jews in the IDF. Let's blame them. Let's stand with Israel. Become an ACLJ champion today at aclj.org/champions. Your recurring donation is... Welcome back to Seculo. We are joined by our director of our office in Jerusalem, ACLJ Jerusalem, Jeff Balaban, attorney with the ACLJ as well. And Jeff, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about right off the bat is we have seen, I think this was the moment that Hamas, that many at the UN and the Palestinian supporters were waiting for, which is a moment, maybe it was planned and done intentionally. Maybe it was an accident by Hamas or Palestinian Islamic Jihad. It certainly looks like it had nothing to do with Israel. But it was the moment this hospital attack or bombing occurs is the moment the world could shift its attention away from the atrocities committed by Hamas inside Israel, the hostages that they have, the videos, which are just heartbreaking to see these young women that they have hostage, and who knows if they're even alive, the ones that have been killed, raped, tortured, beheaded, all of that. Shift your attention away to that, to the evil Israelis bomb this hospital, and that gives the UN the green light to start condemning. You see the Jordanians canceling meetings with the president of the United States, the Egyptians canceling meetings with the president of the United States, and you get it's that moment, and they'll ignore all the facts. We'll put them all forward. We've got all the information. In less than 24 hours, we can refute this entire story. But it's that story the world wanted to turn so that the media and I think so many of those international institutions would turn against Israel, which is that much more important for us to really fight back in the media with the facts, with the truth. I mean, that's what we're doing at the ACLJ right now, is really trying to take all of this apart piece by piece, because I knew when this came out, this was the moment they were looking for.
That's right, Jordan. There's so many levels on which this is evil. And I'm just going to tell our viewers, because they don't know this, that one of my previous roles was I was the head of communications for CBS News. I know exactly how news works. Let me tell you that the mainstream news media have been relying on literal Hamas outlets for their news and information in every respect on what's going on in Gaza. So to start with, they are literally parroting just Hamas propaganda, the same people who visited that genocidal carnage in Israel last week. So you know that it's false. But you're right, Jordan, they've been doing it because they're waiting just to push a narrative that Israel is evil. This would never have been in Israel's interest, even if you believe that Israel doesn't care about human lives, which means you're not paying attention to anything. It would have been against Israel's interest. Also, I note that no one has said a word about the fact that at least two direct missile strikes from Gaza have hit Barzilai Hospital, a hospital in Israel. Not a word by the international media about war crimes. Not a word. But this happens and they pounce. They pounce before knowing anything, literally quoting Hamas.
Yeah, I mean, they use Hamas as the source of the information. And finally, you know, it's people online, other media sources. I mean, the New York Times had to change their headline 3 different times within hours because they were taking it directly from Hamas. I mean, first it was the Israelis killed 500, then it was a strike kills 500, then it was an explosion kills 500. And the explosion sounds a lot more like a lower grade rocket again, you look at all the hallmarks of what the IDF has fired into the Gaza Strip, and it doesn't look like anything like that. We even have the phone call between the two Hamas operatives. I read through it. We've played it. We've done the translation where they say, this isn't Israeli shrapnel. This is our shrapnel. They fired it from the cemetery behind the hospital. I mean, the operatives are confirming it. But Jeff, that hatred in the world, and then we see the violence in the streets begin to increase. We saw for a moment, finally, I wanted to talk about like the universities inside the U.S. finally having to pay the price for their anti-Semitism. But will they have to continue to pay the price? Or is this that moment where the world goes, oh, never mind?
You want to know what I think? The world goes, never mind. The world doesn't want to face reality. America, unfortunately, our leaders aren't facing reality. Reality is that the same people who visited that horrendous carnage in Israel and want to do it to every Jew in the world, they want to do it to Americans also. They've said they want to do it to Americans. We don't know how many tens of thousands of jihadis are in our borders because we don't have borders anymore. They've declared that Israel is the beginning, but America is the end. We cannot turn away from what's from gone. We cannot be parroting Hamas's talking points because they want us also. This is a fight. Israel is not asking America to fight its wars at all. But America needs to understand the nature of the enemy against us. They are brutal, they are genocidal, and our media and our instrumentalities of government are doing their work, not the work of the American people.
I want to go to Bruce in Oregon online to take his call. Bruce, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I was a little curious. So, first of all, one of the best questions I've ever heard was, why cloud the issue with facts? And then I'm curious why our allies would cancel a meeting with our president who's coming in to talk about because of a hospital bombing. Well, that seems to me would be more of a reason to have a discussion. So I need that explanation. And thanks for all your work.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, that to me also was troubling, to say the least, about the U.S. standing. I talked to Rick Rennell about this earlier in the broadcast. But about the U.S. standing in the world is that, wow, the president of the United States, take away, it's Joe Biden, take away the politics for a moment. Air Force One is flying into your territory. You're a U.S. ally like Jordan. You rely on the U.S. So does Egypt. I mean, they rely on the U.S. for a lot of military support and financial support. And you are willing to cancel a meeting with the president of the United States because of Hamas propaganda. Kind of tells you where they are, but also where the U.S. stands in the world right now.
That's exactly right. First of all, this whole trip by Biden to the Middle East is very, very troubling. The reports that seem very reliable that he's actually the reason Israel hasn't actually fully gone to war yet, and it's kind of insane that they haven't, is because America's pressuring Israel not to. And that right now, according to numerous reliable reports, the bunker busters and precision-guided weapons that Israel needs to prosecute a war without killing civilians is being withheld by America until Biden delivers whatever ultimatum he has to Israel. This is a very perilous moment for Israel. It's a moment where Israel itself cannot speak out. Obviously, they feel they have to say that America is doing well and is their friend because they can only say good things. But all around the rest of the world in that area, they're pushing back against Biden, pushing back against America, knowing that that the more they do that, the more Biden will actually kneel to their demands, the demands of those who are trying to destroy Israel.
And Jeff, we have to wonder if the Biden administration got played again, because I heard members of Congress basically coming out and saying yesterday, both sides of the aisle, listen, President Biden's going to land tomorrow, and Hamas is going to let out all of the non-Israeli captives. And that, you know, then that will kind of be able to then give Israel a green light to go into the conflict, because the remaining captives will be Israeli, and that will be up to their decision because those will be their nationals. And of course, the meetings get canceled, no one gets released, and we've got this new propaganda campaign against Israel, all while you have the President of the United States in air flying to the region. I mean, time and time again, it looks like, one, Israel was taken off guard. I mean, that's just the honest truth. Which usually has great intelligence and security forces that were misled or didn't have the good information. But also the United States is being played over and over again. So these world powers, again, they're kind of throwing everything they can at this one.
Yeah, listen, your dad always says that politics in the Middle East is nine-dimensional chess. And what's happening now on the surface is not at all what's happening behind closed doors and not at all what the interests are. You know, Jordan and Egypt understand the reality, which is that these Arabs should be their responsibility. They come from Egypt or they belong in Jordan, which, you know, the state of Jordan is built on 80% of the Jewish national home, precisely so that Arabs would have a place and not be doing this in Israel. So they know that their own regimes are threatened by this. Meanwhile, who on earth, what reasonable person could expect Israel to coexist with these animals? Israel needs to not be in a position of having to coexist with them. These Arab states, it should be their problem. But what Biden is doing and what the administration is doing is forcing it to be Israel's problem. There is no good that can come out of that, not for Israel, not for the world.
You know, what'll be interesting is for all the words, Jeff, and for all the statements from President Biden today, which were nice to hear, is, you know, what happens next to this? You've got Iran making threats like time's up, Israel. I mean, you could see this easily exploding into a major, a much larger conflict. And we haven't even seen Israel go into the Gaza Strip yet.
And by the way, and Jordan, who's been funding this up? Who's been funding up Iran? Who's been giving them a glide path?
U.S. taxpayers.
Of course, U.S. taxpayers. Who's been funding up Palestinian terror? U.S. taxpayers, yeah. Right? This administration is violating the Taylor Force Act and sending money to the Palestinian Authority while it's paying these terrorists for the carnage they caused. It is our money being used. So yeah, what people are saying and what's actually happening are basically the opposite. Yeah. And Israel is being crushed by this. And it's actually extremely painful to watch. Personally, I went from sort of mourning and tragedy and sadness to pure outrage at the role that America is playing here. And Israel's being forced to smile, but the Arabs know better. They're saying, as you said, they're saying, "Nah, don't come to us. We don't want you." And they're just being recalcitrant, while our country is doing their bidding and ignoring, by the way, the threat within our own country from these same people.
Which is, folks, why it's that much more important for you to become an ACLJ champion. Double down on our work that we do in support of Israel and through our office, ACLJ Jerusalem, and all these international institutions. Our European team is at the EU today, tomorrow. They've been to the Council of Europe last week. We're doing everything we can. Become a recurring donor to the ACLJ so you're fighting back and standing with Israel at ACLJ.org/champions. Secular. You know, one thing I thought of during the Trump administration, when we got destroyed ISIS, killed Baghdadi, killed Soleimani, who led the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and took these bold actions, and really saw a breakdown of Islamic terrorism throughout the world, not just in the Middle East, but in Europe and the United States. And now I'm reading reports, this is just on Drudge Report now, new reports about the concern officials are having again about Islamic terrorism inside the United States, not just, you know, against Israel, but they're seeing more chatter from groups linked to Al-Qaeda, former ISIS groups and some of these Hezbollah groups looking to take advantage over anger about what's happened inside the Gaza Strip and try to incite terror attacks inside the United States. When you become when your leadership is weak, you get the war in Ukraine, you get the atrocity in Israel. What happens next? You get canceled on by Jordan and Egypt when you're the president of the United States. I mean, Jordan and Egypt. It wasn't like China who canceled on you. I mean, this is two countries that rely on you heavily, who say, "No, not worth it. Not worth me meeting with you." As Rick said, as Jeff said, as I've said, is because there was nothing concrete, obviously, for them in these meetings. So it was better for them to cancel the meeting than actually be seen with the President of the United States. I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Todd in Georgia on line 3. Hey, Todd.
Hey, thanks for standing against the propaganda. My question is about the chances of the Intifada spreading to the West Bank and the PLO, the role Turkey may play, and what happens if a stray rocket hits the Temple Mount.
Yeah, I mean, listen, a stray rocket hitting the Temple Mount, again, I think it depends on whose stray rocket and what story gets told first. That's number one, you know, so, and what does the world believe? We're already seeing rioting with inside the West Bank. Now, interesting enough, the Palestinian Authority is putting down those riots because they are an enemy of Hamas. Now, how long will they let that go before they kind of say, we might as well go all in on this too? You know, when you're talking about like a third intifada that they would support from the West Bank. I think if things stay on the path they look like right now, that would not be outside a possibility. I'd say last week that didn't seem like a possibility. Today it does. I think, again, Turkey, they are a NATO ally supporting Hamas. Okay, so I think there has to be some big questions made about Turkey and the fact that these countries either got totally played by Hamas or failed to inform their NATO allies about what a Hamas was planning to do. Both are bad. Both make you question, should we be sending them F-35s that we pay for, that we design, teach them how to utilize. Pretty serious weaponry for an ally you can't trust, if that happens to be the case. See, I think this is the moment, and that's like what Rick was doing, is where you do the ally test right now to the world. Okay? If you're going to keep getting our money, you better meet with us. We're going to push you on these tough issues. You're going to have to talk to your domestic audience and tell them the truth that the IDF and the Jews aren't responsible for who got killed in the hospital parking lot attack now, that we know that it is, since the hospital wasn't actually attacked. But it was the Palestinian Islamic Jihad who's responsible for who got killed in that parking lot. You know what? Most Palestinians know that, by the way. Most Palestinians know that the majority of Palestinians have been killed by groups like Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and not the IDF. That's just the truth. And if they weren't directly killed by them, they were put in harm's way by them and used as human shields. Because we also know they admitted in this audio that they fired the weapons from the hospital, in the hospital cemetery compound. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the air. Henry in California on line 4. Hey, Henry.
How are you?
Hey, we're good.
Hey, I got a comment that's packed behind a question here. During World War II, FDR wound up doing 4 terms. The fact that they're stalling on everything, even in coming up with a speaker, and with 300,000 Israelis, is it possible that with Biden in office, that if war breaks out, they might go with the starting lineup? And is there a legal precedent that was set during World War II that might have something to do with that?
No, there's a 22nd Amendment after FDR to prevent a president from taking more than 2 terms, even if you serve 2 or more years. So you were like a VP who served 2 or more years, and then a next term, you're prevented from running a third term. So previously, it was done, it was kind of like a gentleman's understanding. And then he kind of violated that. So we said, you know what, we're going to put this in our Constitution. So that's not the case. You don't have to, again, you'd have to amend the Constitution, which I don't see that happening for Joe Biden or for any other president in the future to change that 2-term limit. We'll go to Pam in Georgia. Is it Georgia? On line 5. Hey, Pam, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hey there. I'm just calling because I just find that as an American citizen, I am just outraged by what this administration has done, undoing all the sanctions that Trump put in place. And he's just fueled all of this that seems to be happening right now. And the American people are just full of apathy. You know, you talk to people and they're just still getting their news from mainstream media. You know, the Republicans can't get their act together and even get a speaker elected. And, you know, I mean, it just seems like no one respects America. Biden going over there was a total joke. Blinken is useless. And, I mean, we're just kind of left hanging out here, and we're just on a razor's edge.
We are in the wilderness right now. I think the America we know politically is kind of stumbling around in the wilderness. Because Houston, you got a Biden administration that seems like at the executive level is just fumbling on every front. And you know, even when he announces this kind of big meeting, we're going to have it in Jordan, and we're going to have the other Palestinians there, we have the Egyptians there, and they just cancel on the President of the United States. Could you imagine them canceling on Donald Trump if he was flying over there? Do you think they'd risk what he might do in response? I'm not talking about like a military action, but like what economic response he might take in response to just saying, no, we're not going to meet with you, but we still want your money. And then you're going to have the State Department say, oh, we better send them the money. Better send them the money. I mean, This is the situation right now, and I agree with you. I think that at a point, Republicans have got to get their act together in the House of Representatives and get a Speaker of the House. And listen, I can't blame all of them. It's a small group that is kind of preventing it from happening, but it is looking horrendous at all of us who identify, or at least mostly see our politics through the vision, you know, through the lens of the Republican Party today. And it makes them look foolish to the country, especially when you have war between Russia and Ukraine and war in the Middle East. and our warships going involved, 2,000 troops being deployed, and we can't pick a Speaker of the House? Can't get enough votes together on that? So yeah, America walking around in the wilderness a bit, I'd say so. And we're paying the price for it, and so are our allies. Ask Israel. They certainly paid the price for it. Support the work of the ACLJ. Become an ACLJ champion. We've got to do what our government's not doing right now, folks. ACLJ.org/champions. Become a recurring donor. Support our work. We'll talk to you tomorrow.